This podcast is called Obsessed. Joseph Scrimshaw and his guest get some secrets off their chest. You should listen. It's the best.
Hello and welcome to Obsessed with me, Joseph Scrimshaw. This is a very special episode of Obsessed. And if you listen to the podcast often, you know that I call almost every episode special. Each one is like a snowflake. It's very different, and yet, come on, it's kind of the same. Anyway, this episode is like a bunch of different snowflakes smashed together to make a big mecha snowflake. This year, I once again attended and performed on Jonathan Colton's Joco Cruise Crazy, and if you're not familiar with Jonathan or the cruise, I suggest Google. Or even Bing, if you're some kind of search engine masochist. I don't judge. Anyway, on the last day of the cruise, I decided to interview a bunch of different people about the cruise, and the interviews are presented in the order I did them, so see if you can tell the subtle differences in my interviewing style. I use three styles in this podcast. The styles are called Martini 1, Martini 2, and Martini 3. Thank you for listening. And enjoy. So can you tell me who you are?
My name is Grant Imahara, and I'm one of the hosts of Discovery Channel's Mythbusters.
Awesome. And is this your first time on the Jonathan Colton cruise?
This is my first Joco cruise. It's pretty awesome.
Would you say that you are obsessed with it?
Obsessed with it? I don't know I would say that I was obsessed with it, but I think that I will never cruise again without a Joco cruise. That's what I
think. Oh, that's wonderful. What do you think is the defining nature of obsession?
Obsession. Obsession is something that you think about all the time. I do have obsessions.
What do you think about all the time?
I think about mechanical devices. And, you know, because robots is a big thing for me, and building things is a big thing for me. And so, whenever I'm out walking around and I see some interesting mechanism, I always look at things and wonder how they're built and how they work, and if that might be useful for me when I build something else.
So do you feel good looking around the ship like it's built well, or do you look at parts of it and go, son of a bitch, we're all going
to
die?
Yeah, no. I have to say, I think that this ship, the Independence of the Seas, is very new. And so, almost everything on here is working great. Now, I will say, we stopped at a port yesterday called Labadee, where I had the experience of riding in a bobsled down a track. And this is not like, you know, a roller coaster. This is an individual bobsled that you control the speed of yourself.
Wow.
With a brake.
I don't have that much faith in myself.
Yeah. That, knowing how things are constructed, absolutely terrified me for all the wrong reasons.
There were the zip lines on Labadee, too. And
I
looked
did.
Up them, and I thought, that looks like lots of fun. And then I realized it was run by the cruise company. And yeah. Then I thought about the number of times I've, like, screwed up a martini.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I don't know if I trust this.
Yeah, look, I think that probably the zip lines were built by someone who knew how to do zip lines. I've yet to find a bartender on this ship that can make a passable Manhattan.
Yeah, there's no way. If you could have a martini on the zip line,
oh yeah,
I would absolutely do
that's
that.
That's right, okay.
I would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
And I have an odd question about the cruise.
Yes.
Would you come back on the cruise if one of the other performers was Hitler?
Wow, that's a tough one. What kind of set would he be doing? Like poetry or music?
Yeah. I think it would be a dramatic reading of Mein Kampf.
Ooh.
Maybe with acoustic music in the background.
Wow. Backed by the Joco band and Paul and Storm.
Humming from Paul and Storm,
Ah, wow. That would be tough. Are we talking like, you know, modern day Hitler? Like, you know, sort of, I know he's dead now.
Yes.
But, you know, if he were existing in the modern day, or is this like straight out of history?
Let's say he was plucked from history. Like, we have a time scoop.
Wow. That would be mighty jarring. Now, a Hitler impersonator.
That would be great.
That would be great. But knowing that it was actually Hitler, that would be a little scary for
That'd
me.
That'd be a deal. No
yeah,
cruise
a little
for
creepy.
You.
No cruise for me. Sorry.
Good to know.
Sorry, Hitler.
Good
no
to
cruise.
Know. And one last question. And this I ask of this everybody on the podcast. It's always the last question. What is happiness?
What is happiness? Wow. You know, it's funny. I haven't thought about that, like, specifically in a long time. And maybe that's because, you know, I do have happiness. I have wonderful person that I'm sharing my life with. I have a home. I can do fun things. I can see great movies and experience incredible music and build things. And so, yeah, I guess that's what I do. And that's happiness.
That's awesome. Thanks, Grant.
Yeah, thanks, Joseph.
What's your name?
I'm Suze.
Suze. And is that short for Susan or anything else? Or is it
for
just
Suzanne.
Suzanne.
For Suzanne.
Suzanne.
Yeah, with
excellent.
Two N's and an E.
Excellent.
I insist.
I understand. I do some insisting about my name.
I'm sure you
People
do.
Love to shorten it to Joe from Joseph.
Really?
Yeah.
Until you take exception?
My name. I feel like my name's Joseph.
Yeah.
It's a name that people just get really. It's two syllables is a lot of work.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
just auto shorten it to Joe a lot.
Yeah.
So what do you do for a living?
I have a very boring office minion job for a construction company. I'm called a bid manager, and I handle their tender and proposal work.
They're tender.
Not that tender. They're tendering for work.
Okay.
And somebody needs to make sure that that those kinds of documents look good and, you know.
So do you literally make tender bids?
I don't make them. It is too early and I haven't slept enough for puns. That's not fair.
I'm going to say that is wordplay, which is different
okay.
than straight up
yeah,
pun.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes, I do make tender bids.
That was not tender in the slightest. That was mildly annoyed bits.
I can try tender maybe if I've had more booze.
All right. Maybe I'll find you later on
yeah,
the cruise.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again.
So how many times have you been on the Jonathan Coulton cruise?
This is the third. I started on two and now three and four. Yeah,
excellent.
Third year.
Excellent. And would you say that you are obsessed with the cruise or with Jonathan himself?
Not so much with Jonathan, but I do have a thing for the nerd boat. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you some questions about to determine how obsessed you are.
Okay.
Would you buy a Jonathan Coulton cruise thong?
A thong?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. If there was one.
No, there probably will be.
Is his face on it?
Well, sure. It could be his face, or this year they have the dolphin with the fez, right?
Yeah, see, that works for me. That would be awesome.
Excellent. And if you could name the boat, what would you name it? If they came to you and said, we've chartered a whole new boat.
Ooh.
For Joko Cruise Crazy, and you get to christen it.
Wow, that's a big ask. I'm honored. I don't know. I would probably call it the Nerd Boat because that's what it is. We've been calling it. I can't really think of anything more suitable.
I like it. Maybe add a hashtag.
Maybe
a hashtag.
Hashtag.
Add a hashtag to the Nerd Boat.
Brilliant.
So hashtag,
hashtag nerd
the Nerd Boat.
Boat? Yeah.
SSS hashtag.
I christened this ship. Hashtag Nerd Boat. Yeah, that works.
And if you could come on the cruise, but you couldn't drink alcohol, and
mm-hmm.
that was the only way you could come on the cruise.
Yes.
So yes, cruise, no alcohol. Would you still come on the cruise?
Absolutely.
And what other drugs would you try to take to make up for it?
I don't... You're trying to get me arrested?
No.
Probably none. I found that this year I have not drunk half of what I did last year. So if I needed to, I could make do without any mind-altering substances for the entire week because it is quite mind-blowing on its own.
It is.
You never get any sleep, so you're half delirious.
Yeah.
On your own. So if just a little bit more caffeine and you're there.
Yeah,
you don't
we're...
need booze.
We're in a little surreal goth club right
yes,
now.
We
just watched a concert, included a song about a flying vagina, and there was a man dressed as Mario watching it. You're
See?
Right. You really don't
and
need
did
drugs.
We need alcohol for
Not
that? No.
in the slightest, but we had it anyway.
Yes.
So the final question for everyone who appears on the podcast, what is happiness?
What is happiness?
Yes.
Is knowing where my people are.
And they're on the Nerd Boat, right?
And right now, they're all on this boat. Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, Suze.
Thank you. Pleasure.
This is the actual sound of an ocean. That was real ocean. So what is your name?
My name is John Scalzi.
And John Scalzi, what do you do for a living, for anyone who doesn't know you?
I write books. I write science fiction books with lasers and aliens and explosions. Often in that order, but sometimes I mix it up because you got to be crazy.
Yeah, you got to switch it up. So.
Yeah, sometimes aliens, then explosions. Sometimes explosions, then aliens. You got to keep people on the edge.
And like they have like themes and emotions and narratives, right?
Yeah, I mean, I throw those in too.
Sometimes, just for fun.
Just for fun.
Excellent. Yeah. And how often have you been on the Jonathan Coulton cruise?
This is actually our second year. We came last year. It was almost a last minute thing. You know, Paul called us up and said, hey, we have these suites available and you know you want to go. And I was like, I don't really want to go. And because... The cruise is always in my mind. It's just a bunch of, you know, it's like a Holiday Inns and Suites shoved out into the ocean with a mall on top and,
yep.
And a casino right underneath. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. But then I thought about it. It's like, well, but these are actually people that I like as humans outside of,
right.
You know, the cruise. So if the cruise itself is miserable, then I will make them all miserable and take them down with me. So that was fine. And also Chrissy, my wife, really wanted to go. She says, I want to go on a cruise, because why not?
Have you guys ever been on a normal cruise?
No, because it didn't appeal to me, because it's just like, you know, what if you hate it? There's nowhere you can go.
Yeah, you would just have to get yourself a disease, so they dump you off in Haiti.
Exactly.
And that doesn't sound like fun.
Exactly. Frying pan meat, fire. But she wanted to go just to have the experience. And like I said, if you're going to go on a cruise, you want to go on a cruise with a whole bunch of people who you know or, you know, are like-minded and so on and so forth. So we thought, all right, we'll take a chance. And we went last year. All the performances were good. Well, 90% of them are good. There's a Scrimshaw character.
He's a piece of shit.
He was a his song. I remember it. It was terrible. But so it was a lot of fun. And then we decided that we were going to go this year. And this year we actually brought my daughter as well and our niece. So you know it was just you know a good way to see people again, because a lot of my friends who are on this cruise I don't really get to see a whole lot, and here they are. For a whole week, and they get to spend time with them, and
trapped
that's fun.
On a boat.
Right, they have to deal with me. They can't. They can only do so much, sort of averting their eyes and hoping I don't come up and talk to them.
And did you guys do any excursions? Did you do weird things in the sea? Did you look at fish or fly through the air?
We did. We did the what is that thing?
Is it a
The zip line.
The zip line. Okay, you did the zip line.
We did the zip line.
On Labadee?
Yeah, on Labadee. Labadee, Labada. And it was not nearly as abjectly terrifying as I thought it would be. And I guess that makes sense because it was all done through the aegis of Royal Caribbean.
Okay.
And Royal Caribbean, I think, probably has really excellent liability lawyers. Right? So, you know, even though they make you sign everything that
right.
says, if you die, you know, we will harvest your organs and it will be on you. The simple fact of the matter is they're not going to, you know, let anybody sort of...
sail into a rock.
Right, exactly. They're just, it's not some sort of fly-by-night operation. They got to keep doing this sort of thing.
So did you feel physically safer for that? Or did you feel like, well, if I lose a leg, they will give me a lot of money?
A little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. You know, because it's like, okay, they're actually going to make sure that we are all strapped in. They're not just going to say, hold on and push us off, right? So that was one thing. But the other thing was, so what if I do fall and I land on the rocks and stuff like that? I mean, they certainly do have the liability waivers and stuff like that. But I think that they probably would have gone, we'll give you a 3-day cruise to... The Bahamas.
The Bahamas.
Right, exactly.
It's for people with one leg.
Right, exactly. The amputee cruise. But, so yeah, we did that. I took my daughter parasailing, because I think that is a real daughter-father bonding moment, to be chucked into the air 400 feet straight up.
And that's the one where you're just kind of floating in the air behind a boat, right?
Floating in the air behind a boat, yes. And it actually went very well. She had a wonderful time with it. But she was nervous about it, and the way that her nervousness exhibited itself was by talking nonstop from when we got off the boat all the way up and then all the way back. She said, this is amazing, I don't know why people think it's so horrible, you know, why are people so afraid of heights? I'm not afraid of heights at all, I'm just really having a very cool time right now. And so that makes me feel like, you know, she was having a good time, but at the time she was like, if I stop talking, I will drop like a rock. So
do you feel if you ever had like a hard thing that you needed to discuss with your daughter and she was reticent to talk?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, an emotional issue, a relationship, a boyfriend, you could put her in a parasail and it would all
Yes,
go exactly. Spilling out.
It's like an ABC after school special, 400 feet up in the sky.
A very special parasail with John Scalzi. That sounds great. So the general theme of the podcast is obsession, and I think a lot of the people on this podcast, they own up to being very obsessed with different things,
sure.
Jonathan himself. Would you say that you're obsessed with the cruise or any person or any element of it?
I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with the cruise. I actually am deeply, deeply interested in the performances, the dynamic of the performances. That's
right.
Why I really like going to them, because it's the sort of thing, like, for example, I'm a writer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really difficult for me to just read a book, right?
Right.
Where I'm like, disconnect my brain, I want to be entertained. Some part of my writer brain is sitting there going, oh, so that's how she did that. That's how that was
right,
handled.
You're looking at the code behind it.
Right, exactly. And I'm filing all that away. By the same token, I do a lot of touring. I do a lot of public appearances. I do a lot of speaking.
Readings, right?
You readings. Well,
very
not,
performative
yeah,
readings.
Yeah, not just readings, but also doing question and answer, taking part in, you know, a whole bunch of different things. And one of the things that I honestly believe is that when you're doing that sort of stuff, there are authors who go and do a reading, and the reading will be dead boring. Because they read in a flat monotone,
right.
They're just, you know, they're actually just sort of reading like they're like just trying to get through it. It's like, no, if you go and you do this reading, everything from the moment you say hi to people to the moment you leave and then collapse because your brain is, you know, just deflated like a flan, is performance. And you have to be aware that you are a performer for those, that amount of time that you are being out there in public. So for me, whenever I see you know, people up on stage, musicians as well, but also the people who are doing spoken stuff, Nathan Sawa, who did his Lego stuff today, are on the cruise. All this sort of stuff, how do they do it? How do they interact with the audience? How do they keep them engaged? And so for me, that's the thing. I wouldn't necessarily go full bore obsession with it, but it is something that I am intensely, intensely interested in.
Okay,
because
cool.
Part of it is what are they doing right that I can steal?
Yes.
and what are they doing wrong that I should never, ever, ever do?
Right. Yeah, it's a fascinating chance to observe that performer-audience relationship.
Yeah.
Because this is a very different place. Normally, a performer goes one place.
Right.
And they perform for an audience, and they have that one relationship.
Right.
But since these people are stuck on a boat,
right.
The performers that they love and performers they've never heard of,
right.
They have all sorts of different expectations.
And there's the other thing that's different about this is, like, you go to a concert. Most concerts, you know, they'll come out, hello, Cleveland, and then they'll go, you know, turn on the lights so I can see them, clap your hands together, you know, all that sort of shit. But it is all, that is all very performative in the sense of it's expected stuff. It's, you know, it's as codified
right.
as, you know, as any aspect of
it's
the
like
show.
It's like a normal conversation. Ice cream, are you ready to rock? You
right.
scream back. It's like saying hello.
Right. Whereas this particular audience on this particular cruise is a lot more interactive. You know, they because they're, you know, milling about with the performers anyway during the day, but also they feel a lot more proprietary towards them, and they also feel like there's not an impermeable barrier that hits where the stage begins.
No, the fourth wall is very, very loose.
Very, very, very loose. And because of that, that actually makes the dynamic a lot more what I do, where my audience tends to be very close up while you're giving the reading. You can actually see them. You don't have floodlights, you know, blinding you in the eyes. So for me, that is very interesting in itself, how people handle that when they're up on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan Colton does a very good job of it. Paul and Storm do a very good job of it. Most people on this cruise or performers do a pretty good job of it because they're used to working in that space. We're not arena performers here,
yeah.
Right? You know, and because of that, I think it makes a difference. And for me, it's much more interesting than it is, you know, watching, you know, Beyonce do her thing, where if you come on, you know, if there is definitely
it's,
a wall.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's practically like...
All respect to Beyonce. I mean, she earned her wall. So
well, I will contact her to get her response
right.
to your blatant attack on Beyonce.
She's like, damn, Scalzi. I will never be rid of him.
So let me ask you some questions that are a little bit odder. if Beyonce was a performer on the cruise,
uh-huh.
would you still come?
Sure. And I will tell you why.
Yeah, have you thought about this already?
I have thought about this in detail in the last half second.
Where could Beyonce show up?
Because it is so vastly different
right.
from the typical Beyonce audience experience, right? I mean, I don't want to say that I've thought a lot about Beyonce, but I can say that I would never date her.
Okay.
And the reason I would never date her is so much work. So much work being part of the full Beyonce experience. She needs right. someone like Jay-Z because he's at that, you
he's
know,
at that level. They all have people.
Yes.
Their like home life probably has production values, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, in one sort of sense, you know, they deserve it. They work their asses off. Uh-huh. But I mean, I just see her and I just see everything that she does on a day-to-day basis and it makes me tired. I just can't do it. So if she was, you know, it's like the lineup, Jonathan Colton, Paul and Storm, John Roderick, Beyonce. I mean, that would be awesome. And you know that the audience would go, you know, they would be like, oh yeah, we'll totally show up. She's yeah. not usually our thing, but she must be here for a reason. Which is the thing that, you know, you get on this cruise is they say you're on the lineup, you get credit. Because it was like, well, they thought he was, you know, he was cool, or they thought she
yep,
was cool. So,
exactly.
I mean, Sarah Watkins is a perfect example.
Yep.
Never heard of her. She comes on stage, she blows everybody else away.
Yeah, the very first cruise, a chunk of people had no idea who Peter Sagal was.
Right.
Just because they're not, you know, public radio listeners.
Right.
So they missed that oeuvre.
Right.
So I would love it if Beyonce was on the cruise and a couple of people just like, I need to Google her.
Yeah.
Who's Beyonce?
What does she do? She does pop? Does she bebop? Is she a bebopper?
She's going to play the guitar, right?
Yeah.
Filk a little bit?
She's not going to. Yes, no filking from Beyonce. Beyonce Filk. That is the name of my next band.
Excellent. If we stopped at an island
mm-hmm.
on the next cruise that was called Angry Clown Island.
Yes.
Would you get off the boat?
Oh, I would so get off that boat.
Would you sign up for just mystery excursion where you didn't know what it was, you just knew that you were going to do something fun mm-hmm. on Angry Clown Island?
If that was, I mean, are we talking about the only excursion is mystery excursion, or are we talking about there might be parasailing, there might be dolphin experience?
You just don't know. You're just getting off the boat.
There's
the island's called Angry Clown Island, and you can choose.
And there's just somebody with a sign that says, come with me if you want to live. Right?
Mystery excursion. Or maybe double mystery excursion.
Here's the thing. I believe both in the Joko cruise and the Royal Caribbean would not actually send me off to die. Again, liability lawyers. So yes, because I want to know just how angry the clowns are, why they are so angry, and how it involves me. And I think what would be great is, you know, you go on a tour and the actual... The entire time on the island is they just sit you in the middle of something. They just tell you how disappointed they are with you. Not angry, just disappointed. But then it gets progressively angrier and angrier. It's like Thanksgiving
father
dinner.
Clowns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's really disturbing.
They're just, you know, and you do, and they do it for 3 hours, and then after that, you get a T-shirt.
But that's a great perspective, I think, of both a writer and the spirit of this cruise of like, angry clown sounds really fucking scary, but I want to know why.
All right, exactly. Let's get the story behind the anger.
I'm going to investigate this.
Yeah, you know, and maybe that's just like, you know, it's like maybe they're just angry from 8 to 5, you know.
And then
afterwards it's like, you know what? I'm not actually all that angry.
The cruisers aren't looking at me anymore. I can just chill.
Right. I might be mildly perturbed on my own time, but I'm only going to be angry if I'm getting paid. And that makes perfect sense to me, too. It's like,
cool.
You know.
Now, if you could come on the cruise, but the only way you would be allowed on the cruise is if you got a tattoo of one of the performers, who would you get a tattoo of and where would you put it?
Is this any performer that's been on
the anyone in the history of the lineup.
I'm gonna go with Sarah Watkins, and I will tell you why.
Excellent.
I would ask why. I got two reasons. One, she's small, so it wouldn't have to be, you know, like a full sleeve, right?
Okay, yeah, no, it doesn't need to be life size.
Right, it's just, you know, it's just a small one. And second of all, you know, my wife saw her perform, and she's like, I'm in love with Sarah Watkins. want to take her home in our luggage. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, and that would be, so every time I get it like right on the shoulder or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Yeah, so every, nice. A nice tasteful.
She loves me as it is, but that little extra like 1% of Sarah Watkins. Oh, I love Sarah Watkins. And yeah, she's like on little, your body.
A little Sarah Watkins saint on your shoulder.
Right, exactly. So that would just take the love that we have and just, you know, notch it up a little 0.1%. So that would be it. And that's not creepy at all.
No, I think it's not creepy at all. Beautiful that a tattoo of another woman would enhance your relationship.
Yeah,
with your
I think
wife.
Indeed, what could be a better tribute to the music and life of Sarah Watkins than a little tiny Sarah Watkins tattoo meant to excite my wife?
Excellent. Yeah. And the final question for anyone who ever appears on the podcast is, what is happiness?
What is happiness?
Yes.
Well, I will tell you my own personal thought on happiness. And did you want this to be a serious answer? Or
it can be where, whatever you want it to be.
For me, being happy is actually really part and parcel with, one, knowing oneself, being comfortable with oneself, having people that one are comfortable with, and doing what you can to make their lives happy and comfortable as well. Because it becomes a positive feedback loop that if you are comfortable and happy, if you are comfortable and making other people happy, then they will make you comfortable and happy as well. For example, you know, I met my wife almost 20 years ago now, 21 years ago, excuse me. We've never had a fight.
Wow.
She's been annoyed with me. I've been kind of, you know, because I can be difficult and cranky and stuff like that. But just a full knockdown, drag out, you know, we're going to have a fight.
Uh-huh.
We've never had. And for a couple reasons. The first is that she and I have decided there are very few things that are worth fighting about. You know, and the other thing is that both of us are actively engaged in, we're stuck with each other for the rest of our lives. So
you're on a life cruise.
We're on a life cruise. Right. Exactly. And, you know, and the entertainment is sporadic. So we have to entertain ourselves. So that being the case, why don't we, when we are angry or when we are upset or when we are sad or, you know, otherwise, why don't we actually just talk to each other? Why don't we communicate with each other? Why don't we try as much as we can to be there for the other person? And because of that, like I said, married 19 years, been together for 21 years, and all of it has been really happy because we make the concerted effort day in, day out to actually decide to be happy, to decide to work with each other, to be grateful for each other, to continue to be amazed that we get to be in each other's presence. And because of that, the happiness almost feels automatic. It's not.
Yes.
But it feels automatic.
Right. And once you get into that habit of just trying to address your emotions and say them out loud, it gets easier.
It's the emotional muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know, just like a guitarist does scales, even though they've been doing guitar for 30 years, they'll still do the scales because, you know, that's what you have to do. It's the same as doing the scales. And you do it with your friends and you do it with people that you meet. You give them credit. You know, like bring it around into the Joko Cruise, when you have performers that they've never heard before, they have credit because they trust Jonathan Colton, they trust Paul and Storm not to give them a bum performance. When you meet people, you give them credit going, it's entirely possible that you're a complete dickhead, but you know what? I'm not going to lead with that. I'm going to lead with maybe we can be friends.
Yes.
And then if you have a chance, it just develops from there. So I think that's a lot of what happiness is, deciding to be happy, deciding to be comfortable with yourself, and deciding to give people credit.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'm standing here now with the Double Clicks,
yes.
Angela and Aubrey.
Hello.
Thank you, guys. How many times have you come on the Jonathan Colton cruise?
This is our second time.
And why do you guys come on the cruise?
Well, last year we were invited performers, and then we came back because it's sunny and there's drinking and nerds, and it's just the happiest place on earth, I think. It's true.
I was just going to ask you if you agreed with your sister, and you just automatically filled in. It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't always agree with her, though, right?
We disagree often.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
What are the odds that within 4 minutes of talking, you guys will disagree about something?
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I shouldn't get my hopes up about
that? No, I don't.
Okay. So would you guys say that you are obsessed with the cruise?
Sure. I mean, especially when we're here. Does that count?
So you're temporarily obsessed with the cruise.
Yeah. I feel like we share the lore and we've been part. We've looked into it.
Yeah.
We've heard all the stories, almost all of them. Last year I was more obsessed. Like, I made sure to, like, get my hair cut and shave my legs and stuff. And this year I was like, whatever, not as much. But I'm still happy I'm here.
I really love that definition of obsession.
Yeah.
That would you shave your legs for this?
Yeah.
Then it's obsession.
Yes.
That's
you
awesome.
You care enough to plan at least, like, for 30 minutes ahead of time.
Would you shave your legs for cats?
If I had to, yeah, I mean, if it was a thing that in order to enjoy cats I needed to
clean shaven legs. And would you shave your legs for pirates? Because I know you like pirates.
Oh, sure.
Aubrey.
Yeah. The pirate. I mean, if you want to wear like fishnets or something for that, you
definitely. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
To be able to hang out with the pirates, they're very fun. Yes.
Awesome. And if you could come on the cruise, but you had to give up a body part in order to be allowed on the cruise,
sure.
What body part would you give up?
So we were given a choice?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's not savagery.
I don't think I need all my fingers to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there one you'd get rid of?
Probably, like, a right ring finger.
A right ring finger.
Yeah.
So I see. You're not giving up your own. You're planning to substitute someone else's?
Oh.
Because you didn't say my right ring finger.
I would give up my right ring finger.
Okay. And what body part of yours or somebody else's, I guess?
I'd probably give a foot. Really fun.
just a whole foot.
Yeah.
Awesome. And if we stopped at an island called Angry Clown Island, would you get off the boat?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That sounds like a good day to stay in the boat.
Yeah.
A good day to stay in the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And if Hitler were a performer on the boat, would you still come on the boat?
I mean, if Jonathan Coulton endorsed him?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Jonathan Coulton said, I discovered a great new talent. It's Adolf Hitler.
Is he, like, painting on stage?
Yes, he's painting.
Yeah.
It's painting as performance.
Right.
Which, to me, that's more offensive than, like, Hitler himself.
Like, during all of the different musical acts.
Sort of he's going to be up there live painting.
Like, Hitler's live painting, like John Roderick leaping into the air.
Right. With a swastika on.
With
like
a swastika.
His art is being influenced by what's going on stage.
Yeah, sounds great.
Oh,
yeah.
that's beautiful.
I feel like the love on this boat would turn him around.
I think so.
Like, if we could get him out of the past, come here, and then return him, the world would probably be a better place.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah, there'd just be all about hugs and martinis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of all that hate.
He'd probably just, you know, go on to be a game designer.
That's true. He would probably just design games about whatever Hitler
likes.
He
would be a great game designer as long as it didn't involve invading Russia. Besides, he'd suck at that
exactly.
part of it.
Yeah.
But besides that, it'd be great. Any other thoughts that you'd like to share on the cruise?
It's wonderful, and I'm really happy.
Yeah. Community is super great. We had a show this morning. It was very, very fun.
The show is awesome.
Thank you.
Well done.
Your show
Lots
was
of meowing.
Awesome. Yes, meowing was good.
I feel like meowing is the new black.
It's the new black sound.
Yeah.
That didn't come out right. Anyway, I have to ask because I'm asking everybody. And yeah, you guys have been on the podcast. I've asked you before, but what is happiness?
Happiness is the fact that I didn't have to pay for this drink. It was just handed to me.
Thank you, Aubrey.
I think, happiness was snorkeling with the cuttlefish. It was so much fun.
They were really cute.
They were so cute.
The cuttlefish?
There were cuttlefish, yes.
Are these fish you can actually cuddle?
No, we didn't try. Because they were so peaceful. Cuttlefish are
Aubrey did punch a fish in the face, though.
Didn't mean to.
Did you snorkel with the punch fish?
Yeah. Cuttlefish, they look like little squids, but they're the cutest, and they've got all different colors on them. And they're
aww.
The
yeah. I would shave my legs for those.
Yes, you would.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joseph.
Can you guys tell me who you are?
I'm Josh Kagan.
Rachel Carpenter.
And Josh and I are pals. He's been on the podcast. You're a screenwriter and an awesome dude.
That's true. I was on your podcast talking about how awesome T.J. Hooker is.
Yes. There was singing and much talk of butts.
Butts?
We talked about butts and our actual feelings about our grandmothers.
It's true.
Which is a lot for a TV show about a man with terrible fake hair pretending to roll over the front of a police car.
It just makes me think of grandma.
Yeah.
And Rachel, we're pals, but I think I know what you do, but I'm not sure if
I do.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I guess? Program computer software.
Okay.
That's my day job, and I just am a general nerdery person.
But you are also, if I may mansplain who Rachel is to herself.
Yes, please.
Tell her who she is.
you are the executive assistant to the DoubleClicks.
That is true.
So what do you executive assist them on?
I basically spreadsheet everything.
Stuff like they don't even ask you to?
Yeah.
Like their fiber?
Yeah. I'm like, here are Angelo's outfits
for
the last month.
Wait, their fiber intake?
Their fiber intake, I should have said.
She makes sure they get 30 grams a day.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you all need to do, folks.
Yep.
I'm just trying this hip thing where I leave words off of sentences. Like, I should have said fiber intake, but I just said,
no.
You schedule their fiber.
Yes.
And
we all followed, so it's perfect.
Yay, yeah. Excellent.
You're starting
a
trend.
You guys have been on the cruise a bunch, right? Many, many years?
I think
2 years.
This is both our second year.
Yes.
Excellent. And why do you come on the cruise?
Nerds? or the opposite of nerds. Maybe.
For me, it was Paul and Storm were badgering me about it, and I'll literally do anything to get Paul to stop talking. So if that meant spending $2,000.
Worth it.
That's what it was going to take. It was totally worth it.
Yeah. So you went last year, you stopped Paul from talking,
yes.
And then after a year ran out, and you had to fit in another.
He started talking again.
My wife and I went last year as sort of an experimental thing, because we are adjacent to the nerd community. We are, or as you call your own kind, nerd flavored, perhaps?
Yes.
I said geek flavored,
yes.
That's what somebody called me once and I ran with it.
Yeah. We have somebody on the cruise this year called me a nerd, which I really like. Because I love the nerd community, but I've never watched Farscape.
They saying that you were, like, nerdy about nerds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of perfect.
Yeah.
I love my friends in the geek community. I'm never going to sit down and watch every episode of Buffy. There's too much to drink.
Angela's so mad at you right now.
So, Angela's mad at me for the very first time this hour.
You are actually implying that one cannot watch Buffy while drinking? Is that?
That's what he's implying.
Hang on. There's you can't see this, everybody, but there's a giant chalkboard with equations behind us. No, you're right. Fuck.
Yeah, Professor Frank was standing right there.
Lyman, you've made many mistakes. But anyways, so we went on and we were kind of worried that we were just going to walk onto a boat filled with in-jokes that we weren't going to get.
Right.
And in fact, what happened was we met a bunch of lovely, amazing people who were super supportive, heard a lot of great music, saw a lot of great entertainers, and we were sold on this.
Excellent.
We dig it. Rachel?
Yeah.
Well, not to mansplain back at you, but what happened is you walked onto a boat, and you have seen the internet before, so you got all of our jokes. Like, you weren't missing out on anything before you got here.
There's a lot of singing along to things. There's a lot
true.
Of...
That's true.
There's a lot of saying R.
Soon, TM.
What? Now... It's not even my podcast. Sorry, I have a podcast too, so I just naturally started interviewing people.
What
made you decide to go on the boat last year?
I thought it would be fun to hang out with my friends for a week and drink nonstop and go to a bunch of concerts.
And that was true, so you came back?
Yeah.
Did you expect or want anything different this year?
No.
No. So you got exactly what you wanted, which is
like,
really drunk and sunburned.
Can we just do that again with more drinks? Perfect.
Excellent. And if in order to get on the boat next year, you had to show a tattoo of a performer.
Yes, mine's right here.
There's nothing there. You tried to trick the podcasting audience.
That's a Sylvia Plath tattoo, actually.
Is it? Oh, yeah. It's a nice one.
She killed last year.
She's performing in spirit.
So if you had to get a tattoo of one of the performers...
Oh, it would be Paul's face.
Paul's face.
Yep.
Where would Paul's face be on your body?
Hateful. So hateful.
Josh is so mad right now.
His mouth would be open as though he's talking to Josh, right?
Right, okay. I'd probably get, like, the gun tattoo and learn how to make him dance.
Oh, did you see his... We're on the radio, so this won't make any sense, but at one point he did this weird leg-kicking dance.
That was adorable.
I think that's called Irish stomping.
Yeah.
It was very passionate.
That's the only thing I'm going to call him from now on. So, hey. Irish Stumpy and Storm.
Yeah.
So if you had to get a tattoo of a performer, Josh, who would you get?
Joseph Scrimshaw.
Aww.
I would get you.
Thank you.
I would get you. This is what I would do. I would get a tramp stamp of your face, smiling and giving the thumbs up, and then on one butt cheek, educates, and on the other butt cheek, as he entertains.
I feel like you've thought about this a lot.
Nice. So I ask everybody who's been on the podcast. Josh has been on the podcast before, so he can answer again. So we'll start with you, and then I'll ask you, what is happiness?
Just standing here shooting the shit with my friends, I guess, and having it recorded.
Aww.
That's the most important thing, having it recorded.
Thank you, old education butt.
Rachel, what's happiness?
I would say drinking with my friends, not on record, is happiness for me.
Yes.
Yes.
Not this, leaving a paper trail.
Yes. Yes.
This will never be put on the internet.
Phew! Yes.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
This is the captain talking. I think he's French, but we never see him, so we don't know. Did you hear that nice awkward pause after great comedy? What's your name?
Hi, my name's Tara Heller.
And how long have you been involved with the Jonathan Colton Cruise?
3 years.
3 years.
Yes.
And why do you come to the cruise?
I come to the cruise to be exhausted in the Caribbean. It's the best place. It's the best place to be exhausted.
Exhausted in the Caribbean. That should be like a song. Like,
yeah.
You know, a real pina colada.
I think it is
drinking.
A Jimmy Buffett song,
a Jimmy
actually.
Buffett song,
it's
exactly.
A deep cut, yeah.
It's a deep cut from Jimmy Buffett. But you are a helper monkey, right?
Yes, I am.
You are like queen of demigod of the helper monkeys.
Yeah, I'm good at it. I schedule a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and you help with the doors and everything. What
yes.
do you do in real life outside of the cruise for actual employment?
This is going to be very funny. I am unemployed right now. Jokes!
Jokes. So really, this is like, you know, you're applying to many jobs by being on this podcast.
Yeah, basically.
What are your skills?
I am really good at getting people to do what they're supposed to do. I'm very good at organizing things, projects, and events. Do you have a thing, project, or event that you need to have managed?
I have many things, projects,
how
and
about
events.
People that are not doing what they're supposed to do?
My parents.
Okay.
Could you manage my parents?
Yes, absolutely.
They can't use the internet.
You can hire me for that.
I will
take care of it.
They will never hear this podcast. My
That's
mother
awesome.
Emailed me when I had a Kickstarter, and I tried to explain it to her, and she didn't understand. And she emailed me and said, I saw that Anderson Cooper was talking about having the Kickstarter.
The Kickstarter.
So
good
now,
job.
The Kickstarter, because she thought it was the Kickstarter. And
the
I had one,
T.
so it was singular, and then of the Kickstarter. And she understood it because Anderson Cooper.
That's fantastic. So yeah, if you would like me to help manage your parents, that's cool.
Yes.
I can do that. And you don't need to tell them that I'm doing it. I'm good enough. You can just introduce me and I'll like be their friend,
like,
and then manage what you need to have.
This
managed.
Is my friend Tara, and you
yeah.
just take
we
care
can,
of it.
When we're done recording, we can negotiate some pricing later.
That sounds good. That
okay.
sounds good. I don't think I'm going to be able to afford you.
Probably
this is
not.
A huge fucking job
yeah.
to get my mother to understand
and
the
I'm
internet.
Really good.
Okay, yeah. So so you've been coming here for 3 years.
Yes.
You love it. What do you think, what is the value of it?
The value of the cruise is the community. Once you have been on Joco Cruise Crazy, you never have to be alone anymore.
Aw, that is awesome.
I know, but it's true.
That's really beautiful. And I agree with that. I think the community here is one of the most powerful things.
Yeah.
And a lot of the sea monkeys, the people who
yeah.
come on the cruise, are like, well, at this point, the concerts are nice, but we could just play games and hug, and
but
that'd be cool.
Yeah, we could just have we could schedule a 3-hour hugging.
Yeah.
And the theater would be packed.
It'd be absolutely
which
packed.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've seen people, returning cruisers meet new cruisers through social media, through Facebook. So, like, don't
yeah.
send your mom there, but through Facebook or Twitter
Facebook.
Or the forums. Yeah, other forums.
Other forums.
And help each other before they've even met. Like, offer emotional support. People have helped people move and find jobs and
yeah.
start projects and encouragement for somebody you've never met. That's
yeah.
amazing.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're obsessed with the cruise?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you define obsessed?
I think about the cruise pretty much every day.
Okay.
Sometimes in the context of good friends that I have now that
mm-hmm.
I never would have met if it were not for the cruise. Sometimes in the context of shit I need to do and spreadsheets I need to make before I get on the cruise. Sometimes in the context of, my God, the real world is awful and why is there not a waiter here to bring me a fruity drink immediately while I sit by the pool. But pretty much all the time.
So
yeah.
you're thinking about it every day.
Yes.
And you obviously spend time and money and effort and everything.
Yes.
Okay, are you obsessed with Jonathan himself?
No.
Is Jonathan the person who first drew you to the cruise?
Yes.
So
yeah.
how do you feel about Jonathan at this point?
I think that Jonathan is a very nice furry man who writes songs that I enjoy, which is what I've always thought about him. I don't think I've ever been obsessed with a person,
yeah,
that weirds me out.
That's a different That's a different kind of obsession.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's one of the fascinating things about the cruise is, like, I can say, like, I'm obsessed with this artist or that artist.
Right.
But all of the cool people on the boat that I've got to know or perform with, I know them as human beings.
Right.
And I think every sea monkey feels that way. Like, they kind of know Jonathan up to a point.
Yeah. And in as much as he will allow them, and I think that, generally speaking, they are willing to accept the boundaries that he sort of has made known without having to say it, which is really nice.
So unlike, you know, somebody like Tom Cruise, who, like, is pretty much just an idea to most of us, we know factually that he's a human being.
I don't know that factually, actually. We know that he's humanoid.
We know that he's humanoid.
Yeah.
He certainly looks like us and sometimes talks like us.
Yes.
Other times not. But Jonathan, we know, is a real furry man.
Yeah.
Who sings funny,
heartfelt
kind of songs in front of us.
He's kind of the Cupid of the Caribbean. There's always somebody here that's, like, getting engaged or getting married or on their honeymoon. Every cruise.
So if we were marooned and someone had to lead the cruise,
okay,
who do you think would, like, take over the community just by force? Like, right now we follow Jonathan because it's his cruise.
By force? Okay, so if it's by force, that's Roderick. Roderick is going to full-on Lord of the Flies this island.
Okay.
Without a doubt. He's going to find somebody's inhaler and steal it from them.
And, yeah,
and just, like, climb on a rock and sucks to your Asmar, piggy. But who should? Oh, God, they're going to hear this. So probably Storm, because Paul's too much of a micromanager, and he's not going to have enough spreadsheets.
Yes.
Like, the first thing that he's going to do is probably, like, start peeling bark and making paper to make spreadsheets and organize stuff.
I think this is very accurate. I like this picture that Roderick is putting on a show of being king, and he's yelling about piggies and inhalers, and Storm is quietly making spreadsheets about how much firewood we have, how many fish we've killed that day.
Yeah. This is sort of what we need to do. What can you do? Okay, great. You go do that. And that's what's going to happen in the background. And Jonathan's just going to sort of wander around and laugh at people.
That's really accurate. Really love it. And I ask this of everybody who appears on the podcast at all. What is happiness?
Happiness is hugging all of your sea monkey friends on Joko Cruise Crazy.
That is awesome. Thank you, Tara.
You're very welcome.
I'll talk to you about my mom later.
Awesome. If I can manage it remotely, like, maybe we can set up a thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So can you guys tell me your names?
I'm Adrian Evans Fernandez.
And I'm Francis Fernandez.
And what do you guys do for a living?
Well, we both work for a software company. I do science-y content validation stuff and curriculum development for our K-12.
I love any job that has the word validation in it.
I try to validate a lot of things.
It makes me feel happy. And what do you do?
I am just a programmer, like 80% of the people on the board.
Just a programmer. Most of the people on this cruise are just a programmer, right?
Yes, that's the problem. Because no one finds it at all interesting.
I find it fascinating because I love to try to understand, and no programmer ever thinks that I want to listen, and I really do. I like trying to understand.
We'd make games, That's sort of an interesting
They're educational
thing.
Games.
Yeah, fuck.
They're games
hell.
That teach stuff. Yeah, I know.
Are they Oregon Trail?
No, although that was an idea I had that would be Oregon Trail in space. And everyone went, oh, okay. Because, like, the worst thing that the development team at our company likes to hear is when I go, you guys, I have this really great idea. Because they go, oh.
Really, whenever you have an idea?
Well, it's because I don't have to build it. Like, I just think it sounds great. And then they tell me that
then,
actually
like,
is
9 months
hard.
Later, and I see it, and I have to go, this is not going to get done.
And then they just deflate like balloons. So how many years have you guys been on the cruise?
We've done all four.
We are seniors
all
this year.
All four. I'm a senior this year, too. So that's sad to think of it that way, because if we all come next year, we're just holding ourselves back.
We'll be doing victory laps.
Victory laps with a high school analogy is scary.
We'll pretend it's college.
It's college.
These are really smart people. We'll pretend this is like post-grad.
Right, we're getting our master's degree starting next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Awesome. So why do you guys come on the cruise?
The first year we came for the entertainment, because obviously we didn't know anyone and we dragged along a couple of friends of ours. And then every year since then, it has basically been because we couldn't bear to not see all the people we met.
We made some really good friends. I mean, the talent's great, too. I don't want anybody to think that way.
That's
that Colton guy.
Yeah.
Our friends are really awesome, and it's really nice to see them, you know? And we only see the most of them, like, this one time in this one weird nerd camp kind of experience.
So if the cruise honestly was, there weren't performers, or even performers were here, but, like, all we did is, like, We would come into the theater.
Look at them like zoo animals, poke them through the bar.
No. We would come and facilitate you guys hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
like if we like just have like a big group napping session.
Yeah.
I mean, well, napping like session. Bingo or...
Actually, a napping session, considering the number of times I almost fell asleep in sessions this year, not because they weren't interesting, but because I was so sleep-deprived and drunk.
It's the senior slide. You can sleep, you can sleep through class.
Speaking but if the personalities were present, but not necessarily performing, just kind of guiding you through all of the drinking and the sunburn and the zip lines and the fun.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would definitely pay good money to watch famous people throw themselves down a mountain on a zip line. That would be... like, if you could set up, like, a gallery at the bottom...
Did you guys zipline on Labadee?
No, did you see how much it was?
No, I didn't look.
It's like $95 to throw yourself down a mountain in Haiti, yeah.
You know, you can throw yourself off a mountain in Haiti for free.
Exactly.
And I'm suspicious about whether or not you actually get caught in the real zip. Everyone survived. I don't mean to shit talk it.
Then you're going to get a phone call from Royal Caribbean's lawyers.
Yeah. So you guys come to the cruise for the friends, for the community. For the fun.
And for you.
Aw, thank you. Thank you. Aw, I'm touched. Would you still come on the cruise if Hitler were a performer on the cruise?
Well, that would mean we either cloned or invented time travel, so I might go just for the interest factor as a scientist.
I would skip his performance. I feel like I could skip him.
Yeah, that'd be a nap slot. That'd be great, actually.
Yeah, then you can get a nap in.
Yeah, that's a actually, let's put that in the comment box. Please bring one person we cannot stand so we can nap through them. And we won't
so you
bad.
Would like as many assholes, no, just xenophobes, like one or two, and just a horrible couple. People.
No.
So you can nap.
This is going to ruin my ability to run for public office, isn't it?
No, we want as few of them as possible. Yeah. Just one. Just stick one in there, and then, yeah, we can skip that show and get a nap in and feel
you
a
just bit. Want one mass murderer so you can nap during well, your
well,
set.
Well, I didn't say... I would be worried then if there were a mass murderer because it's an enclosed environment.
And we have made a lot of of jokes about murder crews, so...
If norovirus itself was a performer on the cruise, an announced performer, so it's going to be Jonathan Colton and P.F. Tompkins and Joseph Scrimshaw and norovirus...
I wouldn't ask him to sign anything.
No, definitely. I'm not even elbow bumping that guy. Yeah. That guy's an asshole.
Excellent. And if there was a stop during the cruise next year on an island that was called Angry Clown Island, would you get off the boat and go on Angry Clown Island?
Yeah.
Yeah, Francis would. He's fearless. He's into that kind of thing.
Let's be careful with our words.
That kind of thing. He's into angry clowns.
More of an adventure.
If they're just angry, I can deal with that.
Are they in cages?
You don't know. It's just called Angry Clown Island. You don't know what's
maybe
in there.
Maybe they're feral clowns. I would go to see feral clowns. Like, if you're in, like, those Jurassic Park,
I mean,
like,
well, no, I mean, I would
like
look
jeeps,
it up on,
and we've got, like, binoculars, and
I would look it up on Cruise Critic. If they're just angry, that's fine. But if they have, you know, knives and murder implements, then I would probably skip, yeah.
I would probably pass that as well. I'm not into murder on my vacations.
And if they're just angry and they'll yell at you, then I could deal with that if there was fun stuff to do.
If there was a bar, I'm down.
Yeah.
So it's a normal sort of Caribbean vacation. There's fruity rum drinks, there's sun, there's zip line, but clowns are just screaming at you the whole time. That would be cool.
I could deal with it, yeah.
Well, it's not the whole vacation. I can tolerate anything for a day.
There are going to be some ups and downs.
Yeah.
And if you could come on the cruise, but a condition of being on the cruise is that you could not drink any alcohol.
No. We're done. Fuck it. Interview over. We're done here.
You've been listening to Obsessed. Joseph Scrimshaw and his guest shared some stories with the rest. Rate 5 stars if you're impressed.
And I ask everybody on the podcast this question. What is happiness? You guys can answer together in unison since you're married if you want.
God. Oh, yeah. That's gonna happen. I think happiness is not having anything to do and not have anything to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would probably say naps.
Yeah, naps.
Naps. Mm-hmm. Good answer. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
This podcast is called Obsessed. Joseph Scrimshaw and his guests get some secrets off their chest. You should listen. It's the best. Obsessed.
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 Ha 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 ha.